What does overcoming mean? From the Greek, Strong's is to subdue, to conquer, overcome, prevail, or get the victory. Thayer says it this way of Christians, that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions, to overcome, have victory, conquer. The Greek word for overcome is nikeo, nikeo, from which we get the word Nike. The swish is a sign of victory, or swoosh, excuse me. It's the swoosh, even though they're very, not very Christian people that run it. But that's where Nike, the name Nike for wear and so forth, sportswear comes from. It's the conqueror, the overcomer. That's where that comes from. Trust me, this overcoming is better than any sports trophy. Hallelujah. All right, let's get to work. To Ephesus, Jesus is speaking to Ephesus in Revelation 2:7. This is Jesus speaking, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So although it was just church, Ephesus, but Jesus said, let you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Plural. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." A reward for the overcomer. The one who will not give up but subdues their enemy. The one reward will be to eat at the tree of life. Means eternal life, if you will. If you eat of the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, it is eternal life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, one, we get to eat of the tree of life, if you're an overcomer. Let's go to the next city, to Smyrna. Revelation 2:11, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." There is a physical death, and then there is the spiritual death. The second death is the spiritual death, when the souls of men and women that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are judged accordingly and then cast into an eternal lake of fire. Second death. It says, "Shall not be hurt." You won't have to worry about that. Hallelujah. I got other news. We don't have to be worried about the first death either. But he goes on to Pergamos, Revelation 2:17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh," you understand, it's not a broad thing. It's a very narrow thing. It's only to those that overcome. Only to those that subdue their foes, have victory over stuff, conquer. This is only the reward for them. You know, at the end of the professional football season, 31 teams will be disappointed, but the Chiefs will be happy again. But this is something better than all of those things rolled in together. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, the food that comes from God. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." He's saying, "I've got a name for you, for the winner, for the overcomer. I am going to give you a name that the Lord and you know each other by, a specific, unique name. Where there's not going to be a million, billion Kims. There's not going to be a million Johns or Jims. Jesus knows us uniquely and individually, and he has a name for each one of us, to the overcomer." To the church of Thyatira, Revelation 2:26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Everybody wants power, and we see it today, the power brokers doing this and that and all the other things. But here the Lord says to him that overcometh in your life in Jesus, I will give you power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, as I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The heavens and the earth shall be yours. Revelation chapter 1 says it will rule and reign with him. This is an opportunity. When you get to a certain age, everybody wants a piece of your pension or your Social Security or whatever. Everybody's got a new investment opportunity for you around the corner. And we do it better than the other guy. And all this and that. And really, it's very temporal. And God bless you if you have a great portfolio. But if your portfolio does not include this, if your portfolio doesn't include that the Lord will let you rule and reign with Him, you don't have much of a portfolio. If the Lord won't give you the morning star, you don't have much of a portfolio, my friend. The greatest investment you can make is I'm following Jesus each step of the way. I'm not going to turn to the left, neither will I turn to the right. And I certainly will not turn back. I'm going all the way with Jesus, and I'm going to let Him accomplish victory in my life at every step. And regardless of what the doctor has told me, regardless of what the attorney has told me, regardless of what the banker has told me, regardless of what my family has told me, I'm going to follow Jesus because the rewards for the overcomer are too great versus the amount of difficulty that I might face. To Sardis, Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, which represents righteousness. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. It's a little, because it's like, well, what does he do to the one that doesn't overcome? I think we should feel secure in our salvation, but honey, the Lord has a blotter. He does have a blotter. But if I determine to be an overcomer with Him, I'll be clothed in the right clothes, and I'll have my book in the right, my name in the right book. But I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. We'll never get to glory on our own merits. Jesus has to say, this one's mine, Father. This one's mine. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. And I belong to them. And the Father will recognize what Jesus has done, and it will be confessed. This is one of ours. Get the right white raiment going. Get them clothed right. Hallelujah. Listen, in my mind, there's no sense of being a Christian if you're not going to be an overcomer. The rewards only go to the overcomer. You must come into Christianity with the idea, I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to defeat every bad habit. I am going to defeat every oppression, every depression that the enemy lays on me. I'm going to defeat with my heart and my spirit every disease that attacks my body. I am going to overcome because Jesus is with me. I've got to run on here because I got lots more to go. To Philadelphia in Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Are you kidding me? He shall go no more in. He shall go no more out. He said, you're going to be with me always. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. You might have a passport to travel this world, but here's the passport you need. It's the passport that has the name of God on you and has the name of the New Jerusalem on you, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name, the resurrection name. Hallelujah. It'll be right. All you guys that love tattoos, I'm saving my body for that one. When He writes His name upon me. Hallelujah. To Laodicea, the church at Laodicea. To him that overcometh. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Do you remember James and John? I think their mother put them up to it, but and they said, Jesus, when can you in your kingdom, can we sit one on your right hand and the other one on the left? Jesus says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? He says, yes, we are able. He says, that's fine and good, but it's not to for me to give. But here to the overcomer, are you there? Are we reading this right? I will grant to sit with me in my throne. It's as if the President of the United States gives you a permanent seat in the Oval Office. You'll have that much authority. The authority that comes out of the, I don't think it's an Oval Office in heaven. I think it's better than that. But every authoritative word that goes up, it comes through you too. You get to sit with Him in His throne. And even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Hallelujah. We'll never be separated from the Lord. We'll be in the glorious throne room. Hallelujah. Where the glory of God is not dampened, or neither is it dimmed. But we'll live in the full glory of God. You will shine like the sun shines in the sky at noon. Hallelujah. The glory of God will be in me and through me. Just to be sure that we understand, those that do not overcome get none of these things. Those that quit and give up on the Lord, they get bitter because perhaps things didn't go the way they wanted. They prayed a certain way and it didn't come out, and all of these kind of things. You got discouraged. You got dismayed. You got disappointed and said, maybe this Jesus thing isn't for me, or maybe it isn't real at all. And you give up and quit. You get none of these things, honey. I am not giving you my opinion. I am not giving somebody else's opinion. I am giving you the Word of God sent from heaven through Jesus Christ to John. Here it is. You either overcome or you get nothing. So why don't we just go ahead and practice overcoming in every situation that we are? Not listen to the devil that tells you to quit, that this Jesus stuff doesn't work for you, or He heals other people, but He'll never heal you. He'll work things out for other people, but He'll never do it for you. Hogwash. I am determined to follow Jesus because I am determined to be an overcomer, because I want all the stuff that the overcomers get. Henceforth, we must learn how to overcome. How do you win the battles of the soul? When you're discouraged, when everything doesn't go right, how do you win that battle? How do you win the battle of the mind? The thoughts that you think, the attitude that you've created, your personality, on all of those things, those are battles that must be overcome. I can't just think loose thoughts anymore. I just can't entertain every thought that comes whipping through my brain. And at my age, it just keeps going. I have to reach out and grab it sometimes. But this must be by the Spirit for the battle of the soul, the battle of the mind, and the battle of the body, so that we can walk in the Spirit. How do you overcome? I'm not sure people are taught this. How to overcome? How do I face when things go wrong? How do I face disappointments? How do I overcome that? We usually just react with our own, you know, we get mad or we get really sad or something like that. How do we win this thing? How do we do it? Aren't you happy that the Bible has the answers? People that watch the daily Facebook thing get sick of me saying this. So that's all right. They can get well again. when we are some of the most fortunate people to ever have lived on this planet. Jesus has already died, rose again, ascended to the Father, sent the Holy Ghost, and then by His Holy Spirit got for us the Word of God. God, by His infinite wisdom, made sure that the world would know it. He preserved His Word and then was able to translate that Word into a language that was a living language, not a dead language, but a living language, so people could understand God's Word. And not just a few highly educated people had access to it. But now, hallelujah, through the grace of God and the willingness of men and women, we have the Word of God in our own hands. Blessed be His holy name. Anybody here remember it was popular in the 60s and 70s preaching like, someday they're going to come and take our Bibles. And then what will you do? They're going to come and take our Bibles. They can't take what's already inside of you. It's against the law to have the Holy Bible in communist China. They get a Bible, they split the Bible up page by page. Every person in the church takes a page home, memorizes it. When it's memorized, they bring it back and exchange it for another page, because you can't take it out of a person's heart. You can burn paper Bibles, you could try to destroy digital ones, but you can't take it out of your heart. Listen, we are privileged people to have the Word of God. And for you or me not to read it, study it, and apply it to our lives, we are being derelict in our duties as a believer in Jesus Christ. How do you overcome? Revelation chapter 12, and starting with verse 7. Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now the dragon prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the heavens into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You wonder why you got a fight on your hands. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. I believe this is talking about Jesus coming, and they're declaring this now. Now has come salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus. Now comes strength. Now comes the kingdom of our God. Jesus is preaching that the kingdom of God is nigh. It's time to get there. And the kingdom of our God. And the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I do not believe the devil has the power to accuse us to God any longer in the heavens. What he does is he accuses us to ourselves. You're never who you're supposed to be. You made this mistake. You're not going to make it. No, if you had done this. All of this kind of stuff. He's here. So he's accusing us. And make you believe that he accuses us before our God. But I have a situation here to tell you about. And that is, we have one Jesus Christ, the great intercessor, who makes intercession for us before the Father. Instead of an accuser, we have an intercessor. Glory to God. He's in between us and the Father. And His blood is between us and the Father. Hallelujah! When Satan accuses us, we can say, but I have an intercessor. Now, verse 11. This, you may think this is in the future, and it will very well be the future, but I believe verse 11 is for all time. And they overcame him, the dragon, Satan, the devil. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is how you overcome in every situation. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and loving not your own life even to death. This formula is unbeatable. It is undefeated. It never will be defeated. Hallelujah. We have the blood of the Lamb. Salvation. The cleansing of our sins. The blood of the Lamb where healing flows. The blood of the Lamb where deliverance flows. The blood of the Lamb that is sprinkled on the mercy seat before the Father God. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost today administers the blood of Jesus Christ upon the mercy seat. There's absolutely nothing like it. I said there's nothing to compare it with. If you study the other religions in the world, there's nothing this good. Doesn't even come close. No, listen carefully, please. There is no sin that can conquer us if we walk under the fountain of the blood of the Lamb. Let me repeat. No sin can conquer us if we walk under the fount of the blood of the Lamb. I guess you have to first believe that Jesus died. He shed His blood for us. Just like the Israelites in Egypt had to believe that the blood of that little lamb that they put upon the doorposts of their home would be enough to protect it from the death angel. They were right. It was. And we are right today. The blood of the Lamb still works and keeps us and protects us and watches over us and will get us through. The blood helps us give us strength to defeat temptation and the tests and the trials and the afflictions. Always remember and always make sure you're under the blood of the Lamb. Always. That's why the old timers taught us to plead the blood. Strength against strength opposed. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is the first weapon in overcoming every enemy of your life, every fear, every anxiety, every depression, every sickness. See, part of sickness, part of the worst part of sickness is what it does to your soul. Hurts you, brings you, makes you weak and hurt. That's why we ask for prayer from others. But there's this blood that's on the mercy seat on my behalf, hallelujah, that I can claim as mine. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The overcoming blood of Jesus. Now we get to this next point in overcoming. The word of our testimonies. I'm thinking about this. A testimony to me must be told. It's not a word of your testimony unless it's told to somebody. And somebody's got to hear that testimony. Why is that part of the weaponry to overcome the enemy and all of his tactics and so forth? Why is the word of our testimonies part of that arsenal? Because it does something. It does something to someone when you speak your testimony. It does something to you and those that hear your testimony. It does something to them. And this is where you're going to help me. I need about five concise testimonies about how you got born again. Raise your hand nice and high. I've got Julie. I've got Randy. I've got Linda. And I got Lizette. And I got Dewey. That's more than five. And I got Chris. That's all. I'm cutting you off. All right. So that's who I got. Make sure these people are ready. Julie, go.
When I got saved, my life was in shambles. And there was nothing left. I didn't have my health. I had no job. I had no reputation. I had nothing. And the Lord still wanted me for some unknown reason. And when I received the Lord, he gave me this dream. And in this dream, I went to this funeral. And my family was there. And I kept saying, who died? Who died? And no one would tell me. I finally went and looked in the casket. And it was me. And I went up to my mother and I said, Mom, I'm not dead. I'm right here. Look at me. And she looked at me and said, my daughter is dead. I don't know you. And I wondered, what was that dream about? And the Lord told me, Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with
Hallelujah.
Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Thank you,
and the
Jesus.
Life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My life was changed. They wanted to get me help. Thank God Jesus gave me the help I needed.
Amen.
So amen.
Amen. Lizette. And then Randy.
So I got saved. I grew up in a Pentecostal home. My father was the pastor. And at 9 years old, I remember giving my heart to the Lord. I knew at that moment that I was saved. I felt it in my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit so powerfully and beautiful. But as those of you who have read the book that I wrote, I let the temptations of the world take over, and I just did about everything that you can imagine, honestly. I had drugs, alcohol, I had so many addictions. But I was never able to feel comfortable in that lifestyle because I always felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I knew I had him in that moment when I was 9 years old because he never let me go. Never let me go, even no matter how many times I walked away. And I think about my life now. I went through so much in my life, and when I see who I am now, I'm reminded of that scripture in John where, you know, Jesus is saying, unless you take of my bread, unless you take of my blood. And, you know, many at that time, they walked away. Jesus said he had many disciples. They walked away. And the 12 that he had, he said, what about you? Are you going to walk away? And Simon Peter said in that moment, he said, Lord, where will we go?
Where will we go?
There's nowhere to go. And that's how I feel in this moment where I am in my life. There's nowhere else.
Amen.
It's
we
all
don't
about
need
Jesus
anything.
And what he did. And I feel that so powerfully now.
Amen. Thank you, Lizette. Amen. Randy.
Before I knew the Lord, I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. And this was after having been married for about 7 years and having two little children. And I would go to church every now and again just to kind of get Carmen to get off my back. And I would go and I would I'd listen to the message, but it just did nothing. I would just go back, go home, and do whatever it was I was going to do. Well, Easter Sunday, 1993, I was sitting in the back, and the pastor was preaching a wonderful message, and I still was fighting it all the way. At the very end, he made the altar call to anyone here that wants to give their heart to the Lord. I looked over. Sorry. I saw my wife praying, and it was almost as if the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. Even though I wasn't saved, I felt like I said, this is the time I need to get up and go. And as I got up, as I made that decision in my mind, as I got up down the middle of the aisle, I felt almost as if angels were leading me and guiding me up to that altar. And I got to that altar and said the prayer along with some other people. And I must have been at that altar for over an hour, just crying my eyes out. Just everything, just years of sin and just regret just all came out. And you said earlier what effect that had on me. That same afternoon, as soon as church was over, I went home. And I walked into my house, and everything that reminded me of my past, bottles of alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana, whatever it was that was laying around that house, it went into the dumpster, and I have not looked back since.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord because my wife, for many years, prayed for me, and but it took me making that decision to actually get up. And once I got up and I was led down that, I felt like I was led down that aisle, the Lord just changed my life.
Amen.
Forever. And
thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Brother Dewey.
Green light. Praise the Lord. Well, it was 1976. years old. I did not know the Lord. I was raised in a Catholic background. And about February of that year, a gentleman came on to our job. And he was a born-again, spirit-filled person. He'd done missionary work, and people harassed him. And they said, stay away from him. I don't know, I don't see what's wrong with him. So we became friends. We didn't do a lot of questioning, and he didn't do a lot of preaching to me. But about 6 months later, he says, I said to him, I started asking some questions. Some curiosity came about my old religion, about what I knew. He says, well, rather than sit here and take up the time of this of our employer, why don't you bring your family over and we'll have dinner? Hey, why not? So we did. Well, went over there and we spent a few hours socializing, and we got into the scriptures, and he began to share, like, from Revelation back to Genesis, Genesis, Revelation. And it came to a point where he says, do you want to know Jesus? Well, why not? He says, you can always disregard it Monday if you want it, you know. He said, you just kneel down and say a prayer. I said, that's it? He says, yeah. I said, well, what do I pray? A Hail Mary or, you know, what? He goes, I'll lead you. So he led me. And as I sat there, and his wife was over by the window, she was saying something in a foreign language, which I thought maybe she knew a foreign language. But anyway, after I prayed that prayer, it's like, oh my gosh, the heaviness, the burdens of life, being married with two children at that time, just lifted. And I was just like, felt a fire.
Hallelujah.
Burned through my body. And it changed me dramatically. And he confessed to my face, I've never seen anybody before me have such a transition in physical. And he said, that was awesome. He said, what witnessed to me is that I was just beside myself. So for days, I was just in a high. And when I went to work on Monday, he said, what happened to you? You're not the same guy. And I said, I'm not.
Hallelujah. I'm
definitely changed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God's been good ever since.
Amen. Hallelujah. Chris. By the way, these are not plants. This is just off the cuff.
So, we went to church 1976. And,
it's a good year.
We went to church for the first time together. And I was atheist, and I was into witchcraft. Let it be known that it was a very dark world that I lived in. I was a miserable person and hid it very well, I think. I had tried to commit suicide by the time I was in third grade. Several times after that. Anyway, we went into the church. I can't tell you what was preached that day. I do not know. I, unlike Randy, do not remember the walk up to the altar. However, I do remember how I felt prior to that walk. The preacher said something about opening the altars. And I felt like if I didn't get there, it was such an urgency. If I didn't get there, I was going to blow apart just like a bomb. And my husband was sitting at the end of the bench, and I'm pushing him. Are you going? Are you going? He says, yeah, yeah. I said, well, go, 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 go. I just couldn't get there quick
before I
enough.
Blow up.
And so I went down there to the altar, and I said, okay, God, if you are there, that lady said, I have to ask forgiveness for my sins. I thought I had to name them all to him. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't remember everything I've done. But you know, if you are God, like they say, what I've done. And I ask you to please forgive me. I felt this darkness and this ugliness and the wickedness lift from me. I don't know how long I was there. It doesn't matter. God did a work. When I got up, I knew I was somebody different.
Yes, ma'am.
There was no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And might I add, my husband got saved the same time.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And delivered from alcohol and cigarettes the same day.
Hallelujah. Got delivered from alcohol and cigarettes the same day, Ron says. So what'd that do for you? The speakers, they got emotional. Because they're proclaiming the goodness of their God and the mercy of their God. And you paid attention, because it's not just some talking head up here. You say, glory to God. So when we listen to the goodness of God and the testimonies, it does some so that we're going to overcome. Now listen, we're going to ask for some more testimonies. I'm going to try to limit it to 5. But I want you to tell me that something the Lord has done for you since you've been saved. I want to hear a testimony, whatever it might be. This is scary for me, but whatever it might be. But try to keep it concise. Now I need at least 5. 5 quickly. 1, 2. No repeats. 3, 4. One more. I just need one more. God's not been good to you. Oh. Dakota and then Christine. Okay, Dale.
Well, I'm almost 80 years old. October the 7th, I'll be 80. And other than 2 years, I've tried to live for the Lord. I was raised in a pastor's home and did everything that I knew to do to serve the Lord. And in 2017, I was on the island of Molokai by myself because I felt the need to get away. And the second night I was there, I was grumbling and complaining about how the situations were right then. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You don't trust me." Oh, Lord, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've been a Christian all these years. Yes, I trust. No, you don't. Oh, Lord, yes, I do. I trust you. It's hard to live for the Lord and not trust, right? And I said, "I trust you, Lord." And he said, "What about this, 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 this?" And started naming things where I did not trust him. And it took 15 days, but the Lord did a work for me. I don't worry. I'm concerned.
Well, one of the things you went there for.
I don't worry, because when you worry, you don't trust. You can't trust and be filled with fear and worry.
That's right.
And my kids don't understand it, but I don't worry about them. I have placed them in God's hands. I trust Him because it's His will that they're saved.
Hallelujah.
It's His will that He takes care of me. I will not fear or doubt. I will trust God no matter what.
Amen. Tim?
Obviously, being raised in a pastor's household, I got to know the Lord very early on. And then after high school, I never strayed away really, ever. I continued to go to church, but my Bible reading was almost non-existent until I decided to start reading the Bible. And then all these questions started to flood in my mind, like, how do I know this is real? And so I tried to get answers through Google, and I got a lot of questions answered, but it didn't suffice my longing to know if He's real or not. And God just told me, open it. I pray this simple prayer, "Lord, I know You're real, and you know I'm struggling here. And I'm going to read Your word. I'm going to allow You to speak to my heart. And I'm going to just see what happens. You know, I'm going to put this in His hands, not mine anymore." And the more I read, the more those doubts began to just dissemble and be destroyed. And it's grown. It's helped me grow so much. Like, I'm so glad that moment happened in my life, because I don't have to be, just a Christian without hardly any knowledge of His word. I can be a believer in Christ and know the answers through His word. I can depend on His word.
Amen.
Now. And I get to listen to it at work. or whenever I'm at home or in the morning. It's just the manna we need for our spiritual souls. So that's all I wanted to share.
Amen. Praise God. Right next door to you. Hallelujah. Amen.
And I ask for God has been so, so good.
Hallelujah. All right, Dewey. One, we'll let you.
Praise the Lord.
And then we're up here with Christine, Dakota.
Well, it was back in 2012 when I was diagnosed with leukemia.
Yes.
And ongoing speed forward, we moved down here in 2016. Well, in November of 2016, I had a heart attack. And that heart attack was quad bypass surgery. And in that surgery, they found that I had a bad valve, probably a birth defect. So they replaced that, along with repairing of the heart. As time went on, and prayer and worship through that heart attack, 3.5 days after that operation, I walked out of the hospital.
Yes, hallelujah.
Glory to God. And I give him the glory for healing. And today, the leukemia is, it's as if I don't have it. You look at my paperwork, and it's zero.
Hallelujah.
So it's normal. Everything's normal. So I give God the glory for healing.
In Amen.
Jesus' name.
That's right. Amen. Christine. Hallelujah. And here you are, back serving the Lord. Glory to God. Is that it? Is that who I called on? All right. Praise the Lord. What did that do for you? Listen, the speaker and the hearer. We literally could spend the rest of the day passing the microphone. All right? What does the devil attack all the time? Your testimony. Nobody wants to hear what you... It's not true. It's not true. Yes, there are some that don't want to hear, but there's plenty that do want to hear and need to hear. This is why we have not, out of our church, we have not dismissed the testimony time, because it's part of the weaponry against the enemy, your enemy, so that we will overcome. When I hear God overcame for you in your situation, I might have a similar situation, so I can know that He's overcome for me as well. It's not that complicated, is it? Helps us to keep going when others tell about the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. And lastly, the overcomer must love Jesus more than his own life. Very sobering phrase, that they love not their lives even to the death. You can rejoice and be martyred at the same time. You can have victory and be martyred at the same time. Alright, you're not getting it, so I'll just keep repeating it. You can be walking in victory and be martyred. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. There's a man by the name of Stephen in your Bible that will show you how to overcome the enemy. He preached on the blood of Jesus. He testified what Jesus had done for him. And he pointed out the sins of the hypocrites. They got so mad at him, they began to throw rocks, not stones, but rocks at his head. If you go there and read this account, how the heavens opened and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's overcoming, my friend. He might have died of contusions to his head, but let me tell you, he overcame at that moment. He was an overcomer. You see, if you don't love your life to the death, if you love Jesus more than your life, the enemy has nothing to get over on you. He cannot win. Stephen won that day. He didn't lose, he won. How do I know? Because the majority of your New Testament was written by a man who watched the testimony of Stephen. He held the garments of the people that threw the stones. And something happened in Saul's heart, even though he went out and persecuted the church, dragged the believers into prisons, and helped kill some of them. He could not escape the testimony of Stephen. Hallelujah. He couldn't escape the glory of God when they were killing. He couldn't escape it. And when Jesus found him on that Damascus road, it kicked him down a little bit and said, "Listen, quit persecuting me." And once he found out who brought the glory, Saul became Paul. Hallelujah. Stephen's victory over the devil that day produced something more wonderful than we can even comprehend. And this Paul established those seven churches in Asia Minor. He established them, the ones that Jesus is talking to. Hallelujah. Don't ever discount your testimony. Jesus, I know the hour is waning, but we win. Overcoming is our calling. Our call, you don't know what the call of God is on your life. Your call is to overcome. Your calling from Jesus, by Jesus, and through Jesus is to be an overcomer. Not a survivor. God didn't tell those Israelites that left Egypt that were on the shore of Jordan. He said, go over that Jordan and survive. He said, go and take the land. Overcome. And when Jesus went to that cross and he looked down through history into the time when I was born, he said, Scott, if you're going to believe in me, you better be an overcomer. Overcome. Don't quit. Don't give up. Though a righteous man fall down 7 times, he gets back up. When you fall, get back up, because we are an overcomer. I am not going to let the devil sit on me. I might slip and fall, but he doesn't get a chance to sit on me. I'm going to get back up, because that's what overcomers do. Is anyone here determined to live your life as an overcomer? Does anybody here want the rewards of an overcomer? Tim, if you'd come. Would you bow your heads with me today? I don't know how to make the altar call. I've contemplated it, what kind of an altar call it should be. I think an easy one would be, you know, whoever wants to continue or go to be an overcomer. But I think I'm going to go for plan B here. If you know in your heart of hearts that you're not an overcomer, every week or every couple of weeks you go through this thing like, I can't make it. Some of you are living your life like Dale used to, strapped to fear and anxiety about the future. Others are in such dismay because the battles of whether it's your family or even your health, the battle for your health has become long and drawn out and has become chronic and you're weary and well-doing and it's like, I don't know, maybe it just doesn't work. And devil's just waiting for you to get weak enough to pounce and convince you that this Jesus thing isn't real. This Holy Ghost thing isn't real, at least for you. If you live with this whole anxiety thing, how many times have we preached and prayed? If you wake up in the morning and you're afraid to get out of bed because of all the things that are going to face you, perhaps today you're in the midst of a deep, dark trial that you did not ask for. It's not a result of your own actions, but other people's actions. And now you're in the midst of this thing, and you don't know what to do. It's time to be an overcomer. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus. Hear the testimony. Give the testimony. And love not your own life, even to the death. If in your heart this morning you need to make a move in your spirit and in your soul, it is time to move over and become an overcomer. It's time to let those things that have kept you down, some of you for years, to lay them aside and to become the overcomer that Jesus has called you to be. I hope I put it in the right language. But I open these altars this morning to that very thing. If it's time for you to become an overcomer, if you looked seriously at yourself, you know the answer. And you're a little tired. You're tired of battling the depression. You're tired of battling the fear and the worry. You're tired of it. It's time to live as an overcomer. I want you to step out of your seat and come to this altar. God will see you. He will respond to your faith. I promise you.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry if you're the first one. Be the one. Maybe this whole service was just for you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit.